welcome back to the Track Talk podcast. Today we are reviewing the Singapore Grand Prix, and it was a bit of a dodgy race. It wasn't great, it wasn't terrible, but it happened, and me and Jay are here to talk about it. How are you?
I'm great. You know, I do love Singapore, but I do have to somewhat agree with you there, Dan, that it was a bit of a strange one because it had all of the ingredients of an instant classic, and then it didn't really deliver an instant classic. But for Singapore, it was actually quite a decent race. So I'm not too sure how to feel after this weekend.
Yeah, I think mixed reviews is probably fair. I mean, when it absolutely poured down before the race, I expected more. I think the FIA played that too safe. I was going to talk about that later, but what are your thoughts on that? So it was an hour delay, and it definitely could have started before.
What is the point of having extreme wet tyres if we never, ever use them?
Yeah, exactly.
I can't remember the last time I've seen a race where we use extreme wet tyres. You know, we might as well just have intermediates as the only wet weather tyre. I think, you know, they could have easily started the race half an hour earlier than they actually did. But it just seems like we're too cautious nowadays, you know?
Yeah.
We need to, if you're going to bring all of this rubber to every, because they bring the wet tyres to every single racetrack.
Yep.
You might as well get use out of them, you know? And I think it kind of ruins the race because obviously it's easy for the drivers to drive in drier conditions. That's hard to say. It's easier than to drive in dry conditions. So it's kind of, I think, ruined a bit of the jeopardy for it. And especially at a place like Singapore, where jeopardy is, you know, extremely high due to the close nature of the barriers. I would have just liked to see us or them start the race, you know, half an hour earlier on the extreme wet tyres, even if it's a rolling start, just a bit of for the drama.
No, I have to disagree with you there. I would rather than wait a bit and do a standing start. Rolling start's just not it. It's so anticlimactic.
You are right. But if it means we have a rolling start at the expense of, we have a rolling start and start on wet weathers, I'd rather have a rolling start and start on extreme wets than have a standing start on inters, I think. Well, I don't know. That's a tricky one.
Interesting debate, that. I don't know.
I guess it depends how wet it is, because it seems like now they literally wait for it to be on the crossover between inters and slicks before they start.
That's a really interesting question. I'm going to write it down and then put it on Twitter and see what other people think, or at least I would if I could find a pen. There's one. So let us know your thoughts on that. There will be a poll on our Twitter, @_tracktalk. Would you rather it be, what did you say? A rolling start on full wets or a standing start on inters?
Yep, that is the question of the day.
It's an interesting question. I like that. Anyway, we'll talk about the race in a minute. We'll just pick out a couple of sort of highlights from qualifying. We're not going to go through it in too much detail. Ocon and Ricciardo, we lost both of them in Q1, which, I mean, Ricciardo's not really a shock this year, is it? Let's be real. But Ocon's a shock.
I think he said he had brake issues. So, you know, I guess at a place like Singapore, where brakes are probably the most important thing, you can climb a bit of slack. And also, it was wet as well. So, the brakes are probably even more important in the wet. So, you know, it's probably just unlucky. I mean, a bit of foreshadowing here, but our opinions, reliability this weekend was absolutely shocking.
Yeah, it was atrocious. Both of them retired in the end, didn't they? Spoiler alert. And then there wasn't really anyone else that stood out to me. Oh, yes, there was Russell.
K-Mag.
Russell failed to make
Russell.
Q3.
Russell failed. K-Mag got into Q3.
K-Mag did get into Q3. Max had the issue as well with the fuel, so had to abort his final lap.
There was some strong memes about that. So I'm not sure if we even spoke about the whole cost cap drama, because it seemed to happen after we recorded the Singapore preview. But there's a lot of good memes going around of them saying that Red Bull ran out of money to fuel the car for enough laps. That's why they had to box him at that time. I don't know, because he probably would have got pole, so I'm kind of glad that they made a mistake, because otherwise Verstappen probably would have won the race by about 30 years.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Aston Martin, Mike Crack, the team principal, quoted something about... quoted something about that, and he was like, I don't... Because it was Aston Martin and Red Bull that were rumoured to have possibly done something wrong, and Mike Crack was like, I don't think we've done anything majorly wrong. And it was just the use of the word majorly.
Talk about incriminating yourself.
Ah.
Unless...
He's kind of shot himself in the foot.
The only thing I can think that Mr. Mike is doing there is that, you know, the sort of rumor is that there's one team who's gone majorly over and one team who's
Yeah.
gone just over. Maybe
Oh,
he's trying to
yeah.
say we're not the ones who've gone like we've gone over, but we're not the major ones, which would obviously leave if rumors are to be believed. Red Bull.
Well, we'll see on that. We will see on that. Charles Leclerc on pole. Perez second. Hamilton third. Sainz, Alonso, Norris, Gasly, Verstappen. All pretty standard, really. Anything else you want to talk about from quali?
I think, I mean, I don't want to say too much because of what happened on Sunday, but Hamilton on Saturday, I think, fully showed why he's still the cream of the crop. Obviously, this year it's been hard for him. The car's not quite as competitive, but, you know, to sort of, I think there's one time when everyone else was on slicks other than Tsunoda was first, and Hamilton beat Tsunoda's time by like a second on slicks, which was crazy. And even, I think he finished, what, 500th off of Leclerc's time? I think him and Perez and Leclerc were quite close. So you know he still got it, but then obviously what happened on Sunday probably detracts from that a bit.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Right, we'll go in reverse order because I think quite a lot happened, so it's probably best to talk about. Give all the drivers a little bit of chat. Zhou Guanyu was the first to retire from the race on lap six. And it wasn't really his fault. He just got Latifi'd.
Latifi, was it you that said then that Latifi now he's lost his seat, he's going to show why he's worthy of a Formula One place? A bit like Giovinazzi did last.
No, it wasn't me that said that.
Pretty much just. It wasn't you that
No,
said that.
no, no, it
No,
wasn't me
I'm
that
sure
said
it
that.
was you.
Of course, it
Only
was me
here.
that said
Only you would
that.
be that. De
Of
only you would be that deluded to say something so
course, it
stupid
was
then.
me. It's
Yeah, no. He was, yeah, like you said, he was Latifi. I don't know how he didn't see Joe there because Joe was
no.
there for a pretty long time. Just the clumsy mistakes. I mean, that like we've associated him that is, isn't it?
Sadly, yeah, and Latifi retired from the same incident as well. So, yeah, you know, took them both out of the race. He's got a 5-place grid penalty for Canada, not for Canada,
Bloody
for
hell.
Japan as well, for that. So,
Deserved.
yeah, I think it is deserved.
His first and last ever Singaporean Grand Prix, and that's how he marks it.
That's true, actually. I hadn't realised that. Fernando Alonso was the next to retire, lap 20, with what kind of? I might as well do Ocon at the same time. They both retired. Were they both with engine issues?
It seemed like it. I did
They were
feel sorry
both
for.
reliability, weren't they?
I did feel quite sorry for Alonso because he had a good quali. I think he started P5 or P6.
Yeah.
A good quali. He looked solid in the race. He was, you know, I think he got stuck behind Lando for quite a while, but he looked like he could score a good haul of points for Alpine, obviously in their battle with McLaren for this year's fourth place in the constructors. But it wasn't to be because I think he was holding up Verstappen for quite a while as well, and then he just went boink, and
Yeah,
that was
he
that.
was. Just
And
holding up Lewis as well, I think, earlier.
yeah, and it was his 350th Grand Prix. What a sad way for that to conclude.
Yeah, not ideal. And in between the pair of them, Albon retired as well. It just kind of looked like he hit a wet patch and just went straight into the wall and obviously got back to the pits and seems like he damaged his car too much.
I guess that's the thing with sort of those wet, dry, and tracks is that if you put even like a millimeter off of the dry line, then you're being given a one-way ticket
Yeah.
to the pits. So no, I mean fair play to Albon for coming back from his issues over the last few weeks. Good to see him back on the track, even as a big old NDV fan. It's good to see Albon back, and he beat Latifi in quali and probably would have beat him in the race as well. So you know, same Alex. Even after the health scares.
Got there eventually. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Health
Don't really have
issues.
anything to add to that. Fair enough. Tsunoda has obviously been told throughout his career to, you know, copy the best. Hamilton went into the barriers, which we'll talk about in a bit, and then Tsunoda did exactly the same a lap later, but kind of realised a bit too late and went in with a lot more force and just completely broke his suspension.
Although I guess it's a good excuse, you know, when you go back to the garage, you can just say, "Oh, Hamilton done it," so you know you can
Yeah.
forgive me. It's a pretty concrete excuse, but yeah, it's weird because I feel like Tsunoda was on for quite a decent weekend, and then he kind of just fell away in the race, didn't he? Because he got into Q3, he did that what he was pole for a few minutes as well. I didn't really see him on Sunday. I don't know if you saw. The only time I saw him was when there was like the little yellow flag, and then he was retiring.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we've all given Yuki quite a lot of slack on this podcast, but like, when does the slack run out? He just has a lot of mistakes.
Do you know what? I was listening to something earlier this week, and they were saying that Sonoda, he's either really, really good, or he's really, really bad, and there's no sort of in between. He either does like he either makes a big mistake, or he does like an amazing lap or an amazing, an amazing race. He just he it's the consistency, isn't it? And obviously, if you're going to progress in Formula One, you need to be consistent. Otherwise, I mean, obviously he's got next year's seat, but he needs to probably improve his consistency. If Gasly is to go to Alpine and he wants to make himself a team leader down at AlphaTauri, then that's something that he needs to work on.
Yeah, I mean, the rumour mill seems to be saying that Nyck de Vries will be with AlphaTauri next year now, which I know will please you. But if Tsunoda comes in and gets beaten by de Vries, that's a really poor look.
Well, do you know what, Dan? Let me ask you a question, yeah? Do you think De Vries beats Tsunoda next season if he goes to AlphaTauri? Dan's been converted.
Yeah, I do. If Tsunoda can cut the mistakes out, I think. I don't know. I really don't know. That's such a cop-out answer. Yes, there you go. There's my answer.
See, my thing is that if De Vries goes then beats Tsunoda, where does that leave Tsunoda career-wise? Because
In the
he's been
mud.
beat, he's been beaten by a rookie when it'll be his third year, if it's third year in Formula One, to be beaten by a rookie, who's not even part of the Red Bull family, will be a bit of a bit of a sore one.
Yeah, I think as you said, he's been helped out by that. Well, as you said, not today, but last week, he's been helped out by the fact that there's not many Red Bull juniors sort of ready to take over at the moment, so they didn't really have much of a choice but to keep him. Right, last of the classified finishers was George Russell. Now, I've said recently how well I think Russell's been doing, which, is no big thing to say as a Bottas fan. That's taken a lot to say. But he had a shocker this weekend, and it really was a shocker. He had a shocker in qualifying. He had a shocker in the race. And he put slicks on too early. Maybe that wasn't entirely his fault. But just the crashes in the race as well. He nearly wiped Bottas out. He nearly wiped Mick out. He just had a stinker. He had an absolute stinker.
Do you know what? A lot of racing drivers, they never seem to take sort of responsibility for their errors, but it seems to be a growing trend now where Russell will sort of
Absolutely.
make contact with another driver and then go, "What are they doing?" And I mean, obviously Russell's probably a bit posher than that, but it's becoming a bit of a trend where he does. I mean, I think Imola last year, Dan, as you know so well, and even this weekend, I think he was going past Schumacher and he just sort of turned into him before
Yeah, he
the
just kept
corner.
drifting out wide. It was like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, do you know what? I don't want to be too harsh on Russell because, like you said, he's been exemplary this year. But I guess he's maybe overdue a bad day. It's just a few weird errors in qualifying. He kept crashing at the same corner, just kept going straight on at the Anderson Bridge. Yeah, it's a weird one because he's been so good this year. But oh well, let's hope Japan he comes back.
Yeah, I mean, he was very, very close to retirement on, I don't know what lap it would have been. It would have been around 10. But when he shot down the inside of Bottas, if Bottas hadn't have seen him coming and not turned, they would have both been out of the race.
And to be fair, he
So.
did get fastest lap, so there's that.
I mean, yeah, but like he had
Yeah, I
softs on.
mean,
It was
yeah,
like right at the end.
to be fair, fastest lap is doesn't indicate anything in modern Formula One, does it?
No, not at all. Mick Schumacher was ahead of him. It seemed like he was having again like a quietly good weekend, but he just really wasn't anywhere.
Yeah, I think Mick's points finish is more likely to be due to the retirement of a lot of other people, mainly the Alpines. Who else went out? Maybe Tsunoda as well, I guess you could say. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he had a solid. It was a bit anonymous, wasn't it, for Mick? I'm sure he'd done okay, but I think in a more normal race, he comes 15th.
Yeah, I think I agree. And the same with K-Mag as well. Kevin Magnussen was 12th. Again, I can't think of anything major that happened
It was weird
to
because
him.
he started in the top 10, didn't he? Oh, no,
Yeah,
he
he's
had he had the thing with Verstappen on the opening lap, where like Verstappen sort of rear-ended him.
Oh, that yeah.
And
Verstappen had a
then
shocker though on the opening lap, but
yeah,
we'll get to that.
and then he I think Magnussen got the black and orange flag, so he has to pit.
Yes,
So
he did.
I
He did.
guess, he's got some excuse. I do feel sorry for him there.
Yeah, fair. 11th, Bottas. Ah, oh, he was so close. He was so close to a point. That Alfa Romeo has fallen off a cliff recently. I don't know what's happened to it. Yeah, one retirement away from a point for Bottas, but no luck. But a decent race from him. Didn't really do much wrong.
Mm. Yeah, it's probably the same level as Schumacher, just wrong place, wrong time. Yeah, but yeah. I get what you said. That Aston Martin, that Alfa Romeo is looking like the Alfa Romeo of 2021.
Yeah, I don't know, because it started so well and he was like 5th, 6th, 7th. Like he was battling the Mercedes on pure pace in Imola. He's forgotten how to press the accelerator.
I think, you know, Alfa Romeo, this is probably where they are. They just got a bit lucky with the sort of the rule regulations, and maybe the midfield teams weren't quite as on it as them. And I guess, you know, last year they were nowhere, so they can sort of, you know, divert all that resource, like Haas have done, into this year. But now sort of the rest of the field have caught up. They're probably back to where they would expect to be.
Yeah, fair. Interesting to see what will happen with them, though, with the rumoured Audi deal, the end of their Sauber deal. Will that affect where they are on the grid? We'll have to wait and see on that front.
Yeah, exciting, though. You know, those Audis coming in.
Your man, Pierre Gasly, final points position in 10th. Pretty standard. Really?
He was raging with the team after the race.
Was he?
Because, yeah, he was fuming. Because I think, if you listen to on the F1 YouTube channel, they've got like all the driver's radio. He is not a happy boy. Because I think they put him on like the wrong tyres, the wrong strategy. They pit him at a weird time and he came out in traffic. He was really angry because I think he probably could have finished up alongside Stroll or something like that, because he started 7th and he was going decently. I feel like the team maybe did hurt him a bit there, but as well, he probably doesn't care. He's leaving soon, so he can, you know, give them all the stick he wants. He's not going to see them in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, fair enough. I will miss the Pierre-Pierre combo, though, with him as race engineer.
But now, it'll be Nick-Pierre. How about that?
Nick-Pierre, it will, unless Pierre is no longer the race engineer. Pierre Hamlin, not Pierre Gasly. Right, 9th, Lewis Hamilton. He was on for such a good result, and then... Just, I don't even know if he was trying an overtake on Sainz. I think he was just kind of seeing where an overtake could potentially be. Locks up the left front, soon locks up the right front as well, and then just can't stop, goes into the barrier. Does well to reverse it out. Gets quite unlucky because he pits about a lap before a safety car. So if he'd waited a lap, he probably would have been better off, but his front wing was hanging off. Max was very keen to say his front wing was hanging off. So saying, yeah. Oh, guys, it's dangerous. He's got a box. You know, this is unacceptable. But it's a weekend of what could have been for Lewis.
Do you know what, Mr. Palmer? When I saw how much it was raining before the start of the race, I honestly thought he was going to win. Because those are normally, like, those sort of tricky conditions where it absolutely excels. I'm thinking, you know, like Turkey 2020, where, you know, he does the business. He's probably arguably the best driver ever in the wet. But it was a performance littered with some unusual mistakes, especially for a man of his calibre. You know, the first one he's on Sainz, and even the one at the end, I would have thought, when obviously he tried to go past Sebastian Vettel, and then he sort of went on the wet patch and went straight on, and then they let Verstappen through, I would have thought Hamilton would have rather... I mean, you know, imagine you're Lewis Hamilton, Dan.
I'm imagining.
Would you rather finish 8th and ahead of Verstappen, or go for a move and finish 9th? With the risk that was.
Well, with hindsight, I'd rather finish 8th.
Yeah, with hindsight. But,
but you know, who said it? If you no longer go for a gap that exists, you're no longer a racing driver. Who was that?
Charlotte, I think. She said that.
Not sure she could take original credit. Credit. Who was it? Was it Senna?
Senna.
Was it Senna? Yeah, it was Senna. Yeah, you know, no racing driver is going to think, this will do when they're driving along. Every racing driver is going to want to go for it. And, you know, as soon as you're not, then there's no point being in F1, basically. But I don't know. The thing is, when he crashed, he was too far back to be trying to move. I can't. Not even Lewis Hamilton thinks he can get a move down from there, surely. He was miles back.
I think he was doing what he was doing with Sainz, trying to sort of scope something out, because the gap between the two corners is pretty short, and I thought maybe he was just trying to like sort of spook Vettel into putting a wheel on the wet stuff and him spinning off himself, but he kind of just, I don't know, looked like he lost concentration.
Completely fluffed it.
Yeah, got it completely wrong.
Well, yeah. Again, what could have been for Lewis? P8. Sebastian Vettel, that's a great result for him.
I said last week, I said he's going to deliver. It could have easily been P7 as well. He got pipped in the last lap by Verstappen, spoiler. But, mate, what a performance by Vettel. I knew we'd come up trumps in Singapore. He's a man, he's always gone well there. And he proved, you know, that he runs these streets.
P7, Max Verstappen. I mean, they had a really good battle, the three of them. And then Lewis made another mistake in that battle, actually, didn't he?
I was just saying about where he went. Why are you trying to get past Vettel?
Oh, yeah, of course. But, you know, Max, seventh, Singapore track, can't really overtake. He made that mistake just after the safety car where he locked up all four wheels, I think, and went straight on. I don't think he'll be that bothered, really. It's when, not if, for his championship, let's be real.
Yeah. I'm surprised Vettel maybe didn't put more of a fight for that last, for that place. I mean, I guess maybe if it was third, he might have done more, but, you know, he'd done... Max done well, yeah. He's like you said, he's putting on the bobbin. He's going to win it in Japan, isn't he?
Cause... Yeah. I mean, the only difference is the guy that ordered all the T-shirts will have to wait to show off his Max Verstappen two-time world champion T-shirts.
Yeah, I reckon Red Bull bought a load of T-shirts to Singapore.
Oh, they were definitely there.
Yeah, they were definitely ready.
100%.
But actually, before we move on to Stroll... Verstappen, the start, didn't he? He got a really bad start. Apparently, he started in second gear, and he sort of bogged down
really far.
And then he had this sort of thing with Magnussen, where he sort of rear-ended Magnussen. But I mean, to be fair, he did produce some beautiful overtakes. There's one on, was one on Gasly that was really good as well. I mean, typical Max stuff, really, isn't it?
Yeah, decent driver that Verstappen fella. I'm sure he'll go on to do some good things in the sport. Sixth. Lance Stroll. I said before the race, I said to some of my uni, so I said to everyone in my uni house, I was like, Lance Stroll's good in these conditions. You know, I can see a good result. Sixth. Like, that's very impressive.
Recently, I think I said this on one of the previous podcasts, that normally when there's been a dramatic race, Stroll's always popped up out of nowhere and get a really good result. But recently, I haven't seen that. But it looked like yesterday, or Sunday, he got back to the... back to that sort of form where he just turns up in a bonkers race, and then it's sort of weird because you're watching the race and you look at the timing chart and you go, oh, hello, Stroll's sixth. And like, I didn't even see him once on the TV, I don't think. And he just turned up in sixth place.
No, you had a really quiet day.
But, you know, if you keep out of trouble in these kind of races, then you're going to score good points.
I always kind of think when I see Stroll there, or even Ricciardo in fifth next, I always kind of think, I'm like, oh, they just obviously haven't pitted yet. You know, it's like a false position kind of thing. But then you kind of clock that when they have pitted, I mean, Ricciardo went 16th to 5th. Like, that's ridiculous. Oh, he got us, and then got a score of 6.5 on the race of their ratings that they always seem to have a shambles of. Lando got a 9. Ricciardo got a 6.5, and it's just like, what?
And I guess Ricciardo, he did get really lucky with one of the safety cars, didn't he?
Yeah, but... still, like, you know, 16th to 5th, he had to not put it in the wall, which not every driver managed.
It's a good result. It's a good result.
It'll do him good.
It'll do him good. Is it enough for him to get a seat for next year? Don't know. Time will tell. Maybe not.
I feel like Ricciardo's had a long enough career now that one race won't make a difference. That was a point I wanted to make on Russell as well. When he was trying to overtake Schumacher, he was like, God, Schumacher's defending for his life. He's like, one, that's the point, George, you're in a motor race. Mm-hmm. Two, he's fighting for a seat. Obviously, he's going to defend. If he just lets you through, like, Haas are going to be like, all right, sod you, we'll get Hülkenberg in. Well, of course he's going to defend. The fact you're complaining about someone defending. What?
Yeah, in this sport, you're not entitled to anything.
No. It's, not my favourite comment that he's ever said. Lando fourth, as we said, pretty solid weekend for Lando. He loves these kind of wet conditions as well. Pretty standard ready. And his best friend, Carlos Sainz, P3.
Good result for Lando. Sainz, I don't know, he just looked well off, didn't he, this weekend? He's probably lucky. I think Hamilton was a lot quicker than him, but couldn't get past him at the start.
Mm.
And then he couldn't keep pace with Leclerc and Perez, so... Yeah, it was a bit of a disappointing one for Sainz. I mean, I had him down as a race winner, but he never looked like getting close to the front two.
No, he didn't. He didn't. He was... Yeah, the front two did have a big gap on everyone else, to be fair. But yeah, you know, Sainz was a long way behind. Leclerc second, Perez first. I mean, Perez was pretty flawless, didn't really put a foot wrong. Neither except, really did Charles.
Except the safety car, the safety car infringement.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about that more
in a
minute.
We all do. No, I mean, Leclerc, I guess he got jumped at the start, but he just didn't... I mean, again, Ferrari didn't seem to have the pace. I think if he wanted to win that race, he had to jump. He had to keep Perez behind him at the start, which he wasn't able to do. Good start by Perez, and he never really looked like in any danger. Which is good. I mean, it's good to see Perez win again, because I think there's been some talks recently of him just completely falling off, you know, the car sort of being moulded around Verstappen's driving start, and Perez really struggling. But I have actually no qualms with Perez winning the race, and he deserved it, I think.
Yeah, no, well, absolutely. Fair play. Fair play to Perez. But we are going to talk about that penalty. It was kind of obvious in the race that he was maybe too far behind the safety car. That was it, wasn't it? Too far behind it. Yeah. And then it's a pretty black and white rule, that. 10 car lengths to the safety car. But the FIA investigated it after the race. They know what result their penalty is going to have on the outcome. And as controversial as this might be, I don't think he would have got a 5-second penalty if he wasn't 5 seconds ahead of Leclerc.
I think if he's P8, he's getting a drive-through there and then. Because it is, I mean, I'm pretty sure I've seen people before get drive-throughs for this infringement. And something like that as well. It's a black and white rule. It isn't like, oh, where there's like contact between two cars and it's maybe open to interpretation who was more at fault. This is black and white. And also as well, my thing with this sort of like waiting to the end to give a penalty is that if they said, oh, Perez is not, you know, in 10 car lengths, we're going to give him a drive-through or we're going to give him some kind of time penalty, that has a big effect on all the cars behind him because then they change their race based on that. Let's say, because in the end, Perez got 5 seconds, which wasn't enough to take him behind Leclerc. But if Leclerc knows he's got a 5-second thing, he's not going to push as hard. He's not going to get right on his bumper, you know, trying to get faster. He's just going to stay within, you know, 4 seconds, you know, take the win. Do you remember a few years ago, Vettel and Hamilton in Canada, when Vettel sort of rejoined the track kind of dangerously?
Yeah.
There and then, they gave Vettel a penalty. And Hamilton, from before that, was right up his gearbox. But then once Vettel was penalised, Hamilton just dropped back and just stepped in 5 seconds because he knows there isn't that risk.
Same for Imola last year. Bottas and Perez. Bottas knew Perez had a penalty. He didn't really bother overtaking him.
Yeah, I mean, I guess from like a spectator's perspective, it's not what you want to see. But as you know, this is a sport. This is competitive. There needs to be an element of transparency. So, yeah, I'm really not a fan of how the FIA handled that. You know, if I was Ferrari, I think I've got a case. I've got a case because using sort of previous precedent, Perez probably shouldn't have won that race.
Yeah, I just don't like a race being decided about 3 hours after the race finishes. I think that's just pointless for something, especially for something like that. It just seems mad, but yeah, I think if Leclerc was 4 seconds behind Perez, I don't think they're giving Perez a 5-second penalty. I think they're saying, okay, yeah, have a warning. Off you go.
Yeah, or like, oh, we'll give you some penalty points and your license and all that. Yeah. You know, something like that. There needs to be something in the rule book which says, this offence is this penalty, clear as day. It doesn't matter what position you are. It doesn't matter where you finish in the race. It doesn't matter who's behind you. You know, a bit like football. Like, I mean, I don't want to touch on football, but you know when they say, oh, that's a foul if it's on the halfway line when it's in the box. A foul's a foul anywhere on the pitch. The same way that a penalty is a penalty, regardless of outcome of said penalty. So there needs to be better consistency. And like I said, I wasn't a fan of how that was handled.
No, I agree. Anything else to say on the race before we go back over our predictions?
It was just good to be back in Singapore. I mean, I wasn't there, of course, but it was good to see it on TV. The cars looked absolutely beautiful, the way they just glisten. And it looked like a really good race, to be fair. Like, in terms of, I saw like a few people I know were out there, and it just looked like a really enjoyable event. So,
bit damp. Yeah.
Bit damp, bit wet, but humid. All the drivers actually knackered afterwards as well, so I think that just shows how much of a physical test Singapore actually is.
Long old race. Well, let's go back over our predictions that we made before the weekend. I'm just going to reel all of mine off, because I had a stinker and you had an absolute stormer of a weekend. So I said pole, Lewis, no. Podium, Lewis, Max, Charles, no, not in that order. Positive surprise, Latifi, absolutely not. Two bold predictions. Valtteri Bottas, top seven in qualifying. No. Sergio Perez doesn't make Q3. No. Should have said Russell. So, right.
Perez wins the race and Bottas goes out in Q1, I think. Was that right?
Yep.
Oh, good. So I had pole, I had Leclerc. That's 1 point. Yep. And then I had Sainz winning. Okay, no. I had Leclerc second, which kind of counts. I had to say Leclerc second, he was second. And I had Hamilton third. Okay, I think I'm third. Although he did qualify third, so something there. Anyway, positive surprise, Sebastian Vettel.
I reckon you can have that.
I can def, mate. What a boy. Yeah, Vettel positive surprise. And then my two bold predictions was both Aston's in the top 10.
Bosch.
And the race will finish to the time limit rather than the lap counter. Boom. Hello. Happy days. That is pole, second, positive surprise, and two predictions. That is five out of a possible seven, I want to say.
I mean, it's bloody impressive. It's what it is. Like, fair play. Like, I know these are complete luck and whatever, but that is impressive.
If you want this weekend's lottery numbers, drop me a text.
Honestly, just give Jay a message and you'll be a millionaire in no time. That's mad. I don't know how you did that. Fair play. That's it for Singapore. Really, you know, it wasn't the most eventful of weekends, let's be honest. A lot of chat about the Red Bull cost cap. Was it Red Bull? Is it not Red Bull? There's a Wednesday, I believe, we get some form of result from that.
Wednesday. Well, I guess just quickly, I can't imagine, even if it is Red Bull, you know, the rumours are true that it is Red Bull who massively overspent, there is no way they're going to change the outcome of last season. Last season ended in dubious... In a dubious manner anyway. So could you imagine the title being given to Hamilton, what, almost a year after? That's absurd. You
know, I dread to think the reaction.
I reckon maybe they will disqualify Red Bull from the Constructors for last season. Because, I mean, they were second. And maybe just give them a massive fine. But then if you're Merck, you know, and you're sticking to these rules, and especially important rules like this where, you know, it's literally financing of your equipment.
Mm.
Sure, mate, if they go to some kind of court of appeal or something like that, then they've probably got a better case than they did last year with the whole Massey drama.
It's almost like, I don't know, in a football match, if you put 12 players on the pitch and then the FA retrospectively go, oh, it doesn't really matter now, just have a fine. It's like, well, it kind of matters at the time. Like, let's say, theoretically, Red Bull used that money to put a new floor on Max Verstappen's car. If that floor has made him win that race because his car's quicker... That's decided the championship. So it's like, how far back do you go? It could be a really, really messy situation.
It could, but I can't see anything major changing because that would just look so bad for Formula One and the FIA.
I don't even think Lewis wants it at this point. I think said to Lewis, do you want the eighth like that? He'd go, not really.
Yeah, neither.
It's just wrong, isn't it?
I think it's unfair on, obviously, F1 fans, unfair on Lewis Hamilton, unfair on Max Verstappen. Because that asterisk is just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, clearly.
Yeah.
I think, it wouldn't surprise me if seeing people stuff in like two asterisks next to that title. I overspent on cost cap, Massey gifted him the win, or something crazy like that. It's just a really bad situation, to be fair. I just hope it just gets resolved and we can just move on from it and enjoy the last five races.
I agree. The fact we only have five races left is mad. I'm really not sure how that's happened.
You getting up early this weekend for Japan?
Of course, mate. Of course.
Yeah,
7 a.m. for qualifying, 6 a.m. for the race, I think. I've got a half marathon on Sunday. I'm going to be knackered by the end of that. I've got Japan at 6, Bournemouth half marathon at 10 or whatever it is. I'm going to be exhausted. Commitment to the cause.
Fair play.
Commitment, that's what
I'd say. I mean, fair play for doing 30 miles. That takes guts.
Bit of a trek. Right, we will be back later in the week to preview Japan. Hopefully Charlotte will be back. Hopefully we'll have the whole squad back together. But Jay, thanks for coming on and chatting about Singapore. I know you love it.
I love Singapore. I can't wait for next year.
Yeah, hopefully it's a bit better. Hopefully it's wet again. Hopefully the FIA start under wet conditions. But thank you very much for listening. Please leave us a 5-star review on Spotify and iTunes. What are you going to...
No. I was just.
What are you doing?
I was just waiting for you to say goodbye because I was going to try and mime it as well. Because now
you look like you're going to say something. All right, thank you very much for listening. We'll see everyone in a few days' time. Goodbye. Thank you.